Good evening to each of you. Why don't we bow our heads and have a word of prayer here? Dear God, we do come before you here this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us this day. We do pray that you would further bless our evening here as we sit here and consider our own life and our own marriages, Lord, that you have given us, and they have been a blessing for us, Lord. I pray that we can manage them, that you would receive the glory due your name. We ask you, Lord, to have your way and will and way here, Lord, and as we consider our life and the situation at hand in Haiti, Lord, I just pray that you would teach us here to number our days and that we would apply our hearts to wisdom. And we just ask you to bless each one that is here, Lord, in their personal, in their own marriages, Lord, that you would receive the glory due your name. We thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing before we begin here, I thought, I was reading the scriptures here in yesterday morning, and I thought that in 1 Peter here with the situation in Haiti, this kind of was a blessing to read this and a comfort to me. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll read a few verses here. It says, verse 12 says, that for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I thought that was a comfort for me just to remember that this is a word of the new covenant, that the Lord, his eyes are still over the righteous, wherever they may be. And that was a blessing for me. And he does care. So, well, this evening I was, I'm a bit nervous, and my wife is a little bit more nervous than I am, so, but that's okay. I have never preached at a couples night. I've been to many, but it's still a blessing to be here. But the topic, or a kind of an assignment, was to, you know, the glory of God in our marriages, and I don't know, you know, where to take that for sure, but a marriage that seeks to honor God and obey his truth in simplicity and daily life is a marriage that will bring glory to God. And so it's not high-mindedness or... But the key verse here I would like to turn to this evening is, or the key thought, I guess, would be steadfastness in our marriages. The scripture has quite a bit to say about steadfastness. We all know what it means. It means constant, firm, steady, and not wavering, but a true course. And the verse I'd like to turn to is in Philippians chapter 1. Maybe I should. Most of you do know me, and some of you don't. But my wife Verna and I, we have been married for 27 years, and it seemed like yesterday we were married. But we've been through some hard times, but the Lord has blessed us, and it's sweeter now than it's ever been. So I praise God for that. That's what. It is amazing how you live together, and you kind of look at each situation through different eyes, but as time goes on, you look at it, you come to the same conclusion of everything that is in front of you, and that's that becoming of one mind. These two shall be one, the scripture says. So that has been our experience. We've had some hard times, but the Lord has a way when the valleys are in front of you, why, if you keep looking to him, why, you can understand the work that he's doing when he brings things to pass. So, in Philippians chapter 1 here, let's just turn to that right away. Verse 27. Now, I think of the scriptures I'm reading tonight, I'd just like you to make application to you and your wife. Take it personal. And then, you know, some of these are given in a broader aspect to the church and the kingdom, but make it personal. Verse 27 here is, only let your conversation of Philippians 1 be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I think that is a marriage, you know, is, I think of a marriage, and I think of, you know, at the beginning of the New Testament, why we have Adam and Eve getting married, or becoming a couple, the first couple. And then at the close of Revelation, we have the bridegroom coming for the bride, another wedding. And then our lives are in between there, each one of us. Our lives are in between those two examples in the Scripture. The opening of God's Word and the closing of God's Word has a marriage in it. So that's why it's important that our marriages are founded first. I'm most of you have been born again by the Spirit of God here this evening. However, there's some that might not be. To experience the fullness of the blessing of Jesus Christ and His kingdom in your marriages, that needs to be the ground, the first stone that needs to be laid, just for starters. But, our marriages, what I was getting to is that if that is, you know, sometimes we make, I want to get to that later, but our marriages should be, in the life that we live, our marriages should be an example of the goodness and grace and mercy of God. And they should look, to the unbeliever, they should look very inviting. Becoming is the word I'd like to use tonight. They should look becoming, that they have a drawing effect to those that look upon us and say, wow, what is that? It's the Spirit of God that is manifested in the lives of two people that have come together, and they glorify God in their daily life and conduct. You know, and I think of, you know, there's many things we could talk about in a marriage, but to be steadfast, you know, first of all, when you walk out in society, like was given this evening, or Joe mentioned it there, that we don't need to, let's just look in tonight. But if you don't have to go very far where you see or hear of, oh, so-and-so separated, so-and-so got divorced. But remember that is only part of it. The ramifications and the rippling effect of that is unending, and the devastation that comes from that. So when there's one that is a couple that is glorifying the Lord by just simply obeying His truth and principles, that is a drawing effect in society we live in, and it should be. That's how it's intended to be. New creation. And I think of, there should be, in Colossians, there's several other verses. It's that the word becoming, you know, our marriages should be becoming to anyone that looks upon. That means fit, suitable, agreeable, proper, graceful, and belonging to the character of becoming. You know, someone that looks like something I'd like to have. That's becoming. It's a scripture word. And I also think of, you know, personally, our life is, we're born and we're, you know, we don't really know when we're born who we're going to end up with as a marriage partner. Not that we need to know, but our life is chapters until we get married, and then there's chapters that are written together by man and wife. And then one day, most of us of it, one day that union will be separated by death, and then that chapter will be closed. And then my question is, well, what were the records tell? Did they have a blessed marriage? Was there joy in their marriage? Are you glad that you have each other? Do you love one another with your whole heart? You know, I always find it a blessing that, you know, when things are going wrong, or a tough day at work, or when there's struggles in the church, and this is real life. Your life is real. And you can go home and you have that haven with your wife that is precious and exclusive. It's a haven that belongs to you and her. That's it. And that's sometimes I think we forget about the beauty of the God's design for the exclusiveness in a marriage. You know, that He wants to bless our homes, yet there is a certain aspect of us as married that belongs only to me and her, no one else. And that's for each one of you here. There's certain liberties and blessings that are confined to this union. And, you know, when we grew up, we were not too far apart in our neighborhood here. We didn't know each other at all. But we were from totally different families and kind of on the opposite page of things as far as the way we made our living. And, you know, we were farmers and her family was drywallers, and it just seemed like there was a lot of conflict when we got married of how to make our lives come together and blend. But by the grace of God, it worked out. You know, it was actually, sometimes things can be humorous, but we had, you know, we were dairy farmers, and you know, when you're a dairy farmer, you milk every night and morning, and when you farm until you're done. You know, you don't pull out of the field at 5:30 because you just finish. And her family, they always ate supper at 5:25, you know, just on the book, you know. And I'm like, what? She would say, when are you going to be done? I said, well, when the hay's done, we'll quit. You know, just when we're out of hay, we're going to quit. You guys know about that, but that was just one thing. But then there's also other things, you know, that families grow up with different cultures and they cook different. And everything needs to be brought together, and that can be interesting sometimes. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with having humor in a marriage. But I know I'm not a guy that likes to plan for humor or just to be silly or goofy, but it's okay to laugh in a marriage when the opportunity is there and you have, there's something about that. It's good, exclusiveness in a marriage. So we've had a good life. We have three children. But then I always think about, you know, as the danger of, you know, some of us, I don't know what's the longest marriage here tonight? 35 years? 40? There's a danger of the loss of appreciation, and you take for granted your partner and you forget about the principles of God's Word and your responsibility toward each other. You know, there's a danger of, you know, you just kind of forget about your spouse and you're married, and it's just, I just want to, you know, renew my own heart and mind. And when we look at the principles of God's Word and what He wants to, what God's heart is, what is reflecting from our home and from our marriages? What is the reflection that it's giving? Is it becoming? Or is there tension and strife things that are not becoming? Those are things that each of us can review and reflect upon our own life. There's a few verses here in 1 Corinthians, or Colossians 2, verses 5 and 7. I want to read them. Colossians 2 here. It says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, is that, I know this is speaking to the group of believers, but is that real in my life and my marriage? Do we abound together in thanksgiving with the blessing of having one another and what God has done for us? You know, remembering the Lord's mercy in drawing us together. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I ask myself, you know, what is our personal conduct in public? Now, I don't believe in extremities, but it's okay to show affection in public as couples. But there's, you know, I believe in moderation in those areas in the right place. But there's nothing wrong with holding hands and walking together and spending time alone together. That's another thing I'd like to encourage you brothers and sisters, is that sometimes we've got, I'll just admit it, that when we go somewhere alone, we sit there for a while and we don't know what to talk about because the children aren't with us. I know you guys can identify with that. Because as parents, in the prime of your life, your main focus is your children. And rightly so. There is a time, God gives us a measure of time for each part of our life. But I told Vern on the way down here, you know, if the Lord tarries another 10 years, we could be close to empty nesters. So let's appreciate that time that we do have to invest in our children today. It's not wrong doing that, but while you're doing that, spend a little time alone once in a while going out for supper and places together alone. It's very valuable because it's needful. And you don't have to feel guilty doing that. But what I was saying is sometimes we get together like that and we really don't know what to talk about because all we talk about is our children and work or, you know, personal responsibilities. You know what I'm talking about. We kind of forget we have each other and we forget the benefits they have are for one another and the things they do for us and just the daily keeping of the home as you mothers, you know, it's a heavy responsibility. May the Lord bless you and all that. But I always remember that in a marriage we're to cherish our wives. In Ephesians 5, I'd like to talk a little bit about that tonight. We kind of look at those scriptures as we preach from them on the wedding day. And we kind of make it a wedding mandate, if you will. I hate to say it that way, but let's make it a marriage mandate to look back at it once, you know, twice a year. See, that's our marriage. It's not the day of the wedding back there. Our marriage is to be like this, where we cherish and nourish one another and love one another. But what I'm saying is, you know, as brothers and sisters, once I think it'd be good for just to go up and say, "Brother, how's your marriage doing?" I don't hear that. Nobody asked me that. Why not? Nobody asked me, "How's your marriage going, Brother Paul?" That's kind of off-limit for some reason, but, you know, why not? That would say, well, you know, it would just cause you to reflect and, you know, look at it. And one thing, like I did say, you know, I think the topic was tonight of marriages that glorify God, you know. Is there a glow emanating from your marriage? Write that question down. Is there joy? Or are we heavy laden and burdened with the responsibilities of life? And I know I'm all for responsibilities. Don't get me wrong. But is there joy in those responsibilities? Is there a glow emanating from your marriage? Glow, I think, is a root word of glory. You know, if we walk humbly with our God, He will receive glory. And one thing I'd like to encourage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's some verses there. I think it'd be good to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, verse 6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And I just like to, that's talking about that each of us having the glory of God within us, that it's carried about in an earthen vessel, reminding us that this vessel is going to go back to earth. But we have this day to carry that about. Let's do it with joy. "He has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And I think of earthen vessels, you know. I've seen men, you know, marriage is divided, one passing away suddenly, and, you know, we're all, in reality, one breath away from eternity. You know, God, and I think of that often, is that, you know, the Lord does not, He does not owe me and you another day or another second or another hour. We can be called away, so cherish your time together. Let's not be called away and regret the last weeks of our life or the last day of our life and, you know, count it precious today, because that's what it is. It's precious. Learn to appreciate one another. And one thing I think just encourage each one of us is to help our spouses do things that they enjoy. You know, if in that I want that, you know, to move both ways. You know, if the husband or the wife has a certain hobby, go with her and exercise. Be with them in hobbies that they enjoy. Hopefully there's things you both enjoy, but sometimes there's things that the husband enjoys more than the wife and vice versa. But support them in the little treasures that they each one enjoys. You have them. There might be flowers in the garden. There might be a tractor show in Woodburn or something. You know what I mean? Two things, but there's things that each one of us know. I don't know your lives, but you know the personal things that your wife enjoys. And support them in that. Help them along. And, you know, say, go with them in that. And I think about, you know, there's, I talked about, you know, standing fast or steadfastness. I was going to talk a little bit more about that. You know, when we go out in society, I mentioned that before, but you see you're always surprised to hear that your neighbor that you knew or the friend that you knew from several years ago, they got divorced. They got separated. And the steadfastness of a marriage, that when a couple's been married 10, 20, 30 years, that speaks volumes in society. They ask you, how long have you been married? 27 years. How do you do that? It's only by the grace of God and goodness of God that we can have that. But let's treasure that time. You know, that we have a time to love one another. I know that we can, each one of us can be overwhelmed with responsibilities. We all have work and things to do. But remember your spouse in all things. But I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, our physical relationships. You know, there's something that is a part of marriage that there again is that exclusiveness that is a treasure to cherish. That there's no one in that. It's not lawful by God for anyone in that to be in that except you two. And treat it as such. It's a sacred and holy union that belongs to you and you only as couples. And treat it as such as precious. And I think it's, sometimes we lose sight of that, but I always think about it just along those lines, that to give of yourselves and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ where He said it's more blessed to give than receive. Take that to heart. As of today, you don't plan on marrying anybody else. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you know, I just say that as of right now. So take that to heart. And then we've had many challenges in our life. The Lord puts a test to marriages, but when they go through those battles, you know, that they can, the marriage will be strengthened. They'll be strengthened. I know there's times when we've been through some hard times in our life. You know, we had different situations. We had some church struggles, and it felt like we were alone. And we just had each other there for a time. But God was faithful, and we went home many nights just praying. And what are we going to do? But the Lord is faithful, and He led us through. And I count that as precious. Where the thing of it was, you know, But the beauty of it was that we had each other, and we could go home, and we could talk about things and get some comfort. But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make a long message here tonight. I know your tummies are full, and you're probably, but you know, just to encourage our hearts as we have opportunity in our marriages to express and live of the mind of Christ. You know, that I think of when there's conflict in the marriage, and believe me, they do come. You guys, you brothers and sisters, all know that. But the beauty of it is you get to exercise thyself in godliness. And with the mind of Christ, the first thing that needs to happen is apology and then forgiving one another. And you have that opportunity. It's that we're not perfect. We stumble along, and sometimes we offend one another. But God would have us to forgive and move on. You exercise yourself in godliness. It's an opportunity. You know, when I think of, you know, we often think that Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride, and the bride is a forgiven bride. Remember that. The bride of Christ is a forgiven bride. So if our marriage is supposed to be that reflection, we should be very quick to forgive and apologize from the heart. And that's a blessing when you can do that. I'm sure you have. But to humble ourselves and say, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? I was wrong. Can you say that? I was wrong. Men are strong, and a lot of times, and I've found that, you know, and I know you have, that women have, sometimes they have more intuition than we do. We stumble along, and they kind of look at a matter and say, I wonder about that. And you come to find out that it was legit. And then as you grow together in your marriage, as the years go by, I have found that your personal responsibilities, they generally increase in the body of Christ. In the church of Jesus Christ, if we're faithful, he puts more food on our plate, or he makes bigger plates, one brother said. But if we're willing to express Christ in our marriages, expect that. God needs light on this earth. And he desires to see his glory revealed through marriages that are part of a growing body of Christ. You know, that there's not I think of a lot of things in a marriage. But if we want to have a wholesome and a complete marriage, we need to submit to the principles of God's Word in every area that we can. And He will bless us. He will give the multiplication if we're willing to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. I think of, just the Word of God. I think of, keep in marriages. Sin can destroy a marriage. Sin can... If there's sin, if there's a husband hiding sin, or if there's a wife hiding sin, your marriage will not prosper. Get your life transparent. Take the axe to the root. Take the axe to the root and lay it before the Lord. And here's Job, it says that. It says here that in Job chapter 11, verse 14, it says, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Don't let it dwell in your house. Don't let it live there. It says, for then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. See, those things, there's a sin when it is finished bringeth forth death, the scripture says. But if there's husbands that are hiding, and the thing that we need to understand here in today's world that we live in, that there's every opportunity at a given click for pornography. Husbands, you need to repent of that. I'm not accusing anyone tonight, but you need to get clear of that. But those things will
be a blockage in your marriage. There'll be a hindrance. Keep your hands clean. Keep your hands clean by the grace and goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those things are, the enemy is subtle with all of his devices and tactics today, but the Scripture says that we should be wise to his tactics. By God's grace, we can be. He gives us of his Spirit, we can discern. So those are just some pointers, and we've had, in our marriage, we've been, you know, we were unconverted when we got married. We were not born again. We struggled along for many years, and finally we developed a hunger for truth. And I praise God. I don't put anybody down. It was my own fault. You know, I don't blame anybody for my iniquity. It was my iniquity. But we grew up in a setting where it was just the norm to be involved in all kinds of wickedness, and I was a part of it. But when we got married, I decided to quit doing known sin. I wasn't born again, but I decided to, you know, and that was good for me, just to make a stop of, and then we got to seeking God's Word, and He led us on together. And we, you know, I remember the night we had a meeting, and there were several brethren there. We just got clear of everything we knew. And it was like a weight lifted off my shoulders that night. Got clear of all known sin. And then we had a few more hardships and hard things, but God was moving. And He changed our life. And He changed our marriage. And He can do that for anyone here tonight if there's some struggles in here. He can do that. He is the God of changing. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creature. But I'd like to read verses in Ephesians 5 here yet this evening. I don't want to have too long tonight. It's a Saturday night. But these are familiar verses here. And I would just like to make it personal here this evening for all of you couples. You know, make it personal. As we read God's Word here, let God have His way. It says here, wives, submit yourselves, verse 22 of Ephesians 5, unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Husbands, give yourself for your wife, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, when I read that verse, it's just kind of heartwarming for me that the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. It's precious in His sight. And that's the heart that we should have to our wife. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I know that another scripture says talks about benevolence, but I know these are wedding verses, but I just like to bring them to our marriage. Bring them to our marriage today. And help us, by God's grace, to keep these verses current in our life. Is it that way today? I know when we vowed our vows or got married, we said, yes, Lord, we want to do that. But sometimes we can drift off course. And it's good to just look back and see where I need to make some changes. So, I think that is all I would have tonight. Turn the time over to those to take it on. If there's something shared here that wasn't according to God's Word, why, you can come speak to me about it. The Lord bless each one of you. It's good to see you.